Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome into episode 218 of the Sources Say Podcast, your go-to Kentucky basketball and recruiting podcast on the Growing KSR Podcast Network. The Sources Say Podcast is presented by our good friends at Justice Dental. You can make an appointment at one of two Lexington locations. It's on Wellington Way and Blazer Parkway. Now is a great time to schedule your dental cleaning. Remember that regular dental appointments are important for your overall health. You can learn more and make an appointment at justicedental.com. Dr. Justice and Dr. Thompson, look forward to seeing you soon. I am your host, Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio. Very happy to be joined once again by Sean Smith of Go Big Blue Country for a breaking news edition of the Sources Say Podcast. DJ Wagner, Sean, is a Kentucky Wildcat as expected, something that we have been anticipating for quite some time. He puts pen to paper officially and rounds out Kentucky's superclass in 2023, becomes Kentucky's fifth signee in the 2023 class, joining Rob Dillingham, Justin Edwards, Aaron Bradshaw, and Reed Shepherd. John Calipari got his guy, Sean.
He did. It's a recruitment that for Kentucky fans at a couple of different points probably provided some high episodes of anxiety, but probably not for John Calipari. Because I think in the end, I don't know if Kentucky and John Calipari ever really wavered when it come down to it, but it's Kentucky beats Louisville again. John Calipari beats Kenny Payne, and Kentucky gets a talent that is a three generational NBA potential talent family. I mean, you're talking Milt, DeJuan, DJ. It's a basketball royalty there.
This was the one that we said, Sean, from the very beginning, that this is one that Cal just wouldn't lose. This is one that when push came to shove, Cal understood the meaning behind this recruitment, and it has nothing to do with the player. We'll get into the player analysis here in a second, what he does best, what he struggles with, those type of things. But from a visual standpoint, from a PR perspective, this was a recruitment that John Calipari simply had to win. This was one that I think he understood the magnitude behind it from the beginning, and that's why there was such confidence, you know, internal confidence on Kentucky's side. From start to finish, no matter, you know, how much the buzz about Louisville and Kenny Payne and the hiring of Milt Wagner and all that, I think that's why through all of it, they just understood that Cal was going to get it done. This recruitment was made for John Calipari. This is the one that he has circled on his recruiting big board since the minute he emerged as a high shoot. Since he came out of the womb, he was made to be a Kentucky basketball player. He was designed to play for John Calipari at Kentucky. And I think Cal knew that. And for him to close the way he did and continue to chip away, didn't get desperate whenever the Milt Wagner hire happened. He didn't get desperate when Kenny Payne went to Louisville. None of that. He held the fort. He, you know, held strong, held firm with what he knew about DJ, what he knew about himself as a recruiter, and he got the job done. And this was Cal at his best. This is why Cal is known as the best recruiter in college basketball.
It is. And this is a full circle thing for John Calipari, right? When you're talking about DeJuan at Memphis and now DJ at Kentucky, and it was set up for this to happen. Any other outcome would have probably shocked us all. And honestly, there was points where we probably thought if DJ isn't a cat, then it means probably the end of John Calipari at Kentucky, because that might have been the way it was trending.
Fair, yeah.
And I think that is fair, because then it would have been like, okay, the guy that's been the guy couldn't get his guy of a guy that he had at one point. So – no, it worked out. It worked out the way it was supposed to. And Kentucky's getting a great talent and a big time PR boost with DJ in a Kentucky basketball jersey with talented pieces that Kentucky's already got signed and inked to this class that, I mean, this is a class that you got to like. You got to love where Kentucky basketball's at right now. We hit a crossroads there after the loss to St. Peter's, and we had a ton of criticism for John Calipari.
Absolutely.
And the program. But as the summer went along, we started saying, okay, there's some things going differently. There's some changes being made. And now those changes are showing up on paper in a recruiting class that's number one in the country. And I mean, first time what since 2020? I don't think they had the number one class the last few years. I know, especially with 247 Sports, but this is a loaded class with a lot of dudes that can do a lot of different things, and DJ fits it well.
Consensus top three player in the country. Let's dive into what he does well. Very, very quick. He's a kind of a, slithery type of talent where lateral quickness is there for him. He's incredible at cutting, through defenders, slicing down the lane and finishing with craft and precision down low. He's there's a lot to like just in terms of a polished fundamental standpoint. He's just look, when you have a family like him, what we talk about with Reed Sheppard, he's very fundamentally sound, high basketball IQ. Those things happen when you are born into a basketball family. And that's exactly what DJ is, with his dad playing in the NBA, being a top five draft pick, Milt Wagner playing in the NBA, being a college, star at his level at Louisville. When you have that type of basketball, those genes, first of all, but that type of basketball mindset around you, that guy was born to be a high basketball IQ, fundamentally sound player. And that's exactly what he brings to the table. He's quick. He's electric, very flashy. And what I like most about him is just his ability to finish at the basket. Yeah. And he's built a lot of strength here recently. His junior year, that was kind of something that he really struggled with, could not finish through contact. Now he's adding the physicality on top of the kind of craft and touch around the basket, which I think that's going to be ready made for the college game.
Well, and there's a lot for me to really, I think, unpack when it comes to the scouting report when I turn on tape and I see him. And you mentioned the fundamentals of him. He's a very fundamental player, but then again, there's a side of him that he doesn't get too fundamental, if that makes sense.
That's true.
There's not a lot for a guy that handles the ball as well as he does. He doesn't over dribble a ton. I think he's very effective off the bounce. He's really good in pick and roll. I think he's also going to be a guy that can slide off the ball, make good reads, and run some of that floppy action that Kentucky runs off those baseline runners, curling off screens, getting downhill, finishing in traffic, a good mid-range game, a good floater, can make passes, one-handed passes, left-hand, one-hand passes, right-hand, can set up and make plays for other guys. Like, this is a guy that I think can plug in and play a lot of different roles and wear a lot of different hats for Kentucky a year from now.
The things that we like a lot about Cason Wallace, just in terms of, playing multiple positions and, he can play on and off ball, the value that he brings in that. I think DJ has a lot of that. He's not the same high level defender that Cason is, but, he's 6'3", 170-ish, 175 pounds. So, he's building muscle. His jump shot is a little inconsistent for my liking, a little streaky at times, a little hitchiness to his jumper, but I think he's smoothed that out a little bit here over the last, the spring and summer. There is, I think, Sean, and this is a criticism and I guess just a take that even the Kentucky, the Kentucky side of things and the staff, you have a tendency of overanalyzing kids because they play so many games in so many different settings. And, they're 16, 17 year old kids at the end of the day who, if they eat the wrong thing on a certain day or they wake up and, stayed up too late playing Fortnite the night before. And, there's little variables that impact if a kid is, goes 4 for 13 one night or if he goes, 10 for 18. There's just when you're at that level and you play that many games, you start to nitpick, you overanalyze what a kid does. And I think that's where some of the criticism came from this summer with DJ and why everybody kind of wanted to be the first to drop him because he had been number one for so long and you just had to overcomplicate things. And I think that's what Kentucky thought. Talking to people on Kentucky side, they said, we saw this kid go for 40 in the most high profile environment in a, you know, cutthroat event where he was going up against the best competition in high school basketball. We saw him go for 40 and go for the other team's jugular. I mean, he is a dog at heart. And he said, and they, you know, when every time I talk to him, it's a similar narrative to that. It's like, we have seen this kid play, you know, check every box that we have needed from him. Yes. Is he going to, you know, play efficient basketball every time he touches the floor? No, because he's human. He's a kid who plays in a lot of events. He goes, plays, you know, USA basketball overseas in Spain. Then he comes back and, you know, team mini camp in Colorado Springs. And then he goes and plays all the camp setting, you know, events, the MBPA top 100 camp, the, you know, Pangos All American, all of those little events around the country on top of the normal high school gauntlet, on top of the EYBL circuit, which is the best of the best at that level. He plays a ton of basketball, and we've seen a massive sample size that overanalyzing becomes a thing. And I think when you take a step back and realize just what he brings to the table, I think that's why Kentucky just understands just how much of a safe bet he is. He's a safe bet college basketball. He will be successful at Kentucky.
And I think there's a couple of things too that we can factor in here. If this were just, and this is why I think coming to a place like Kentucky helps. And this can be overused a ton. Like, how many times do we say, oh, you come to Kentucky, you play with the best, it doesn't expose you as much. It kind of covers up some things where you kind of move to the forefront because of the talent you play with. That's the case in this one. If you throw him into a program where it's all DJ, 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 I don't think DJ has a ton of success. But you put him with a Rob Dillingham, you put him with a Justin Edwards, you put him with all these other pieces in this class and whoever's going to be returning. And I think that it sets him up to do those things that are elite for his game. And we know that the athleticism, like, he's not the most athletic player. He's not the most explosive guy at the rim through length. We do know he needs to add some size and some strength to his game. But the other areas is what makes him so good. It's the speed. It's the pace that he plays with the ball in his hands is what's the most impressive, I think. Yep. He plays at his own pace, and nobody dictates it but him.
Yeah, and that's kind of something I liked about Ty Washington, just how the pace and you know that's it goes back to the fundamentals. He's just a fundamentally sound player that
footwork.
Footwork is impeccable. The you know, his ability to get to his spots, and you know, I just got to see him, you know, can hit those shots once he gets to those spots at the rate that I know I'm confident that he's able to hit. And that's something that where the nitpicking kind of came from, the, you know, 4-for-13 shooting nights kind of racked up a little bit there in the summer. And you get to that point where it's like, all right, I see you get to that second level. I see you get to your spots and you come off screens very well and you're getting open looks, you're getting clean looks, and you're beating your guy off the dribble in exactly the way that you need to. I need to see that next level. And that's what I think everybody was kind of overanalyzing this summer, knowing that he's already hit those shots in various events. It's just about the consistency for him. I need to see the consistency. It's a big senior year for him. But I'm not worried in the slightest. I think he's he has exactly what it takes to be a star at Kentucky.
I think so too. And you mentioned Kaysen in the opening. Like, we had no concerns about Kaysen transitioning to college basketball and being successful. Mm-hmm. I don't have any concerns about DJ Wagner transitioning to Kentucky and being successful. And I feel like that the environment at Kentucky, like I said, we overuse this a ton, but this is one of those cases where I keep coming back to it. I'm not overusing it. I think Kentucky sets him up to be what he is and to become that best version of himself. And I think you're going to see that 38% field goal percentage shooting from the EYBL. I think it's going to be significantly higher than that because of the guys he's going to be playing with, and not all eyes are going to be on DJ, and DJ can kind of thrive in his role. And I mean, has an opportunity to be the first three generation family in NBA history. Like, that's a basketball pedigree right there from that part of the country, that Kentucky wins out, John Calipari wins out, and Kentucky gets a guy that is going to be thrown into a backcourt that has a ton of talented pieces that can beat you in a lot of different ways.
You mentioned, you know, his EYBL and, you know, the what he brought to the table there. Part of, I think, his struggles came as a result of, I think, Aaron Bradshaw, his, again, continued teammate at, you know, a teammate at Camden, teammate on the EYBL circuit, and now who's going to be his teammate at Kentucky. How valuable do you think that is to have a player where we talk about the high level, you know, the huge sample size of these games and those two playing together in all of them? What does that mean, continuing that chemistry and you know, the pick and roll and the growth that we've seen from Aaron Bradshaw is kind of a stretch big, you know, able to you know, extend out to the perimeter and knock down the mid-range and, you know, even the occasional three. What value is it having those two together, especially?
I think especially at a place like Kentucky, it's very valuable to kind of transition into that level of basketball with a guy that you're familiar with, you played a lot of basketball with, you know inside and out. I think that makes the transition easier, not just on DJ, but I think on Bradshaw as well. And I think it's the perfect thing. I mean, we're talking guys that have been on campus together. They've gone through this recruiting process together with not just Kentucky, but multiple schools on a list. Mm-hmm. And you know that guy. And when you can step on campus and you know the other guy that's lining up with you and going to battle with you every single day, I think it makes life easier for you, not to mention the chemistry that you have and stuff on the floor together as well. And these are two guys that want to win. They have aspirations of getting to the highest level of basketball. And right now they're going to be playing at the highest level of college basketball and doing it together. And I think that sets them up to have a ton of success. I really do. That familiarity.
And you talk about the other talent in the backcourt, doesn't get much more talented than Rob Dillingham at the guard spot. There's a lot of talk about how those two in particular are going to play together because of how ball dominant they both are. Right?
One basketball.
There's one basketball, two very ball dominant guys. We talked about that, you know, DJ is able to do a lot of stuff off ball. And I think we don't give enough credit to what Rob does off the ball as well. He's, you know, he has thrived in a catch and shoot role as well. He is better, you know, initiating and letting him rock out a little bit and, you know, show his erraticness. But I think it's a fair question to ask how those two are going to fit together.
And that's the thing that I've thought about this. And now that it's official, we can actually really think about it and talk about it. Mm-hmm. And to me, this is a situation where if it's just Rob, I think that you could have been set up to maybe fail a little bit and not really succeed the way you want to. And I think the same thing with DJ. I think these are two dudes in a backcourt that need one another. Yeah. I really do. And I think that this isn't a case where you need Batman, you need Robin.
Right.
I think it's Batman. And that's going to be the hard thing for John Calipari. But if anyone's going to do it and make it work, it's Cal. And I just feel like those two pieces, and we know that Rob, I mean, we talk about Antonio Reeves and how he can cook and be a microwave. I mean, Rob Dillingham with the ball in his hands, Kentucky fans haven't seen anything yet, the way that he can do things and how shifty he is. And you got DJ, like, I still think Kentucky's best player isn't one of those two, though, in this class. I still think it's Justin Edwards.
So talk about those two together, especially because Justin, you talk about Robin and Batman and Batman. I think Justin is very clearly a Robin when push comes to shove, but the best Robin you could possibly find. Yes. And as complimentary of a piece as you could probably fit with anybody, I think he's just a winning basketball player, so versatile on both ends of the floor.
That's why.
He's a plug-and-play guy with anybody on the roster.
That's why I think that when I said he's their best, because I feel like his impact is going to be more significant than those two guys. Mm-hmm. Just because of the way that he can do things differently. His size, his length, he's smooth, he can defend, he can play both ends of the floor, and he can play alongside either one of those guys or both of them at the same time. I look at how many boxes do you check off? And I feel like that's what, and maybe saying their best guy isn't the right term. Maybe it's their most effective guy, because how many, if I check off 12 boxes over here, and then one guy checks off five, give me the guy that checks off 12.
That's Justin.
And that's exactly right. And maybe it's not he's not the best at all those boxes, but when you can still check them, then you know what you're getting. And I hope that makes sense to our listeners. But I feel like that this is a class that if you just had one or two of these guys, I would be a little bit concerned. But when you put them all together and you blend it, I just think that this could be one of the more dynamic groups that John Calipari's brought in, especially in recent years. because they all do these things well. And I can see it, if he gets it to work, this could be a really good team that I think could line up and be preseason number one a year from now.
Yeah, and there's a lot of talk and fair criticism of this class as a whole. And just, you know, the star talent in this class in particular isn't what we've seen even as recently as just 2022. You know, a top five kid in 2023 isn't necessarily, you know, wouldn't necessarily even be a top 10 kid in 2022 or, you know, some years before that. You know, my argument with that, and, you know, is it a good idea to go, you know, quantity over quality in this class and take five kids in a class that already is underwhelming as a whole? Is that a safe bet to build a roster of players, of newcomers, knowing the growing pains that come with, you know, being a young team and things like that? My argument to that is everybody is recruiting from the same pool. All of these other teams are recruiting from the same pool. So if we're getting four top 10 recruits like Kentucky has officially gotten with DJ now added to the fold as well, with Reed being a top 25-ish, top 30 kid in his own right, now Kentucky, the other schools are competing with Kentucky's four in the top 10 with trying to get those other six and then, you know, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 from there. So –
it's when you're comparing classes, it's cool to do it, but it's not really, I mean, what are we doing? Like, it's not really like we're comparing this class to, 2017 was a greater class or 2018 was a greater class. Well, 2018 has no impact on what's going on right now in 2023.
Right.
It's what, this is the group that's walking into college basketball, and it's not just Kentucky. It's other elite programs that are going to rely on guys from this class as well. If Kentucky's got the best of them, then you've done your job.
Mm-hmm.
From the talent pool that you had to recruit, we got to give Cal credit. He's went and got the guys that he needed to get to succeed. Now, the interesting thing that you look at, and we can start doing this now, and it's early, is, and we'll be doing this between now and March. Who blends with this group?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of things to be asked. I mean, you know, we've always expected CJ Frederick to be a multi-year guy at Kentucky. We know Antonio Reeves has another year at Kentucky. If he wants to choose, if he uses that option, like there's multiple things that you can do. And that's where paying attention to what's developing and going on. Chris Livingston. I mean, there's bodies here.
That's a big one. Yeah.
There's some pieces that you could see fit, but this is a really good foundation to have done in November. And now you can get jump started on what you're going to do in the future and start turning your attention to, you know, 24. But you can also kind of eye the portal if you need it over the next few months. If there's a surprise exit or if something happens, like put it this way, John Calipari's sleeping very comfortably tonight because of the work that this staff has put in leading up to today.
Yeah, it's a best case scenario where you can start dreaming big. This is exactly what Cal was looking for. He wanted the super class. He wanted to get back to that number one spot. Before we kind of move into, you know, just a couple more big picture things, Reed Sheppard now, it can, you know, I don't think there was ever an expectation that he was going to be a year one, you know, instant impact type guy, but I think you can now pretty comfortably say that he's going to be a pretty safe role player off the bench, maybe. I don't know what his role is going to be in year one. I think that the staff is expecting a year two, you know, pretty significant leap, just getting him used to, you know, the college, you know, strength and conditioning program and, you know, just getting used to the pace and speed of college basketball, the length, the size, the athleticism, all of that. I think that is the you know, there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period with him. So I think this news especially solidifies that, you know, it's going to be a little bit of a waiting game with Reed. Does he have a role on this upcoming, you know, on next year's roster? And how quickly do you think he's able to, you know, kind of fit in?
Here's the thing that I'll come back to with this one. And I feel like we fall victim to this a lot and kind of we overanalyze things, right? And especially a year from now, I still think that he could carve out a role because of a couple of things. His IQ.
Yep.
His ability to make shots and his willingness, I think, to be a defender. Like, I think that those are three areas where he can carve out a role and get minutes, whether it's minutes in November next year or it's minutes in January in SEC play. I don't know, but he's also played against some elite talent on the circuit.
Yep.
And he performed well a lot of different times, especially in that national spotlight in a game against a Rob Dillingham. Like you saw what he could do. I don't know, because we also didn't think going into this year that Ugonna Onyinso was going to have a role. We were true. Kind of thinking red shirt, and then even more so going to the Bahamas, Aduthiero, and where he was. I would assume that Reed Shepherd's was probably in a better spot walking into Kentucky than Aduthiero was.
Yeah.
But then again, you got to look at the landscape of what's coming in with you, and I think that you're right. You get DJ, you get Justin, you get Rob, who returns. You would look and think that Reed's probably the odd man out. But then again, it's Kentucky. Can some of these guys get on campus like a Shea Alexander and just excel?
That's
a Tyler Hero and just develop. And when you have the IQ side of it, and I still feel like when push comes to shove, when you're talking pure basketball IQ, Reed Shepherd might have the highest of any of these guys in this class.
And is that not what our argument has been with Reed from the beginning, that the struggles that he had to emerge in a camp setting in when the Adidas circuit opened up and we were like, Reed, go just play, like be yourself, go get you a bucket, like go be that dog that we've seen you be in Kentucky. You know, like we've seen him go for 40 against high level competition in the state. Why isn't he going to do that against, you know, the other high level competition? But there were the criticism was that he never took his game to the next level, not his level of production and the impact on winning that he was making while he was in. He was still playing high level team basketball that we said that's going to fit in immediately Kentucky. And if there is a role for him, it's going to be as that safe bet guy.
Reed is a guy that John Calipari, I think, is going to fall in love with because of his commitment to do whatever that one or two, those two jobs are that get him on the floor that help the team win.
Mm-hmm.
I've never thought even, we're talking, I mean, I know the level of basketball and stuff that's played, like when we're talking of, you know, where he's at in 13th region stuff, it's a significant step up when you're talking the elite areas of college basketball and high school basketball. But I never felt like there's been many times where I looked at Reed and thought he was trying to do too much.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that Reed was kind of playing within himself. And then we did have those moments where we saw Reed excel against elite level competition and with elite level competition. He's well coached. He's fundamental. He's also athletic, can shoot the ball. I think that that plays. And I think he'll have an opportunity. But if he doesn't, I do see a significant second year jump that's a guy you want in your program that just is going to continue to get better and better.
Why is it that CJ Frederick is going to play as much as he is, and why Cal continues in every conversation that we have with him when CJ comes up, where he goes, CJ is a high basketball IQ guy, he's a high level impact piece that is going to play a lot of minutes on this team. Why is that? For the same reasons that we love Reed.
When you're talking about the game of basketball, a lot of things happen if you're in the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
And Reed to me is a guy that's going to be in the right spot 9 out of 10 times.
Right.
CJ Frederick's a guy that's going to be in the right spot 9 out of 10 times, whether that's offensively, defensively. He's always going to put himself in a position to have success on the floor. Now, there's players that coaches have to put you in those spots, but then there's players that understand how to put themselves in those spots. And I think that Reed is that type of player. I think Reed is going to know his limits. He's going to know what he can do and what he cannot do on the floor. And IQ plays. And I just feel like, and this isn't just an in-state kid that's coming in that's rated the number 130 player in the country. This is an in-state kid who is rated 4-star, 5-star status that has played with 4-stars and 5-stars on multiple circuits and done it well. And took on the, look, before he committed and Pat Forty wrote that feature in Sports Illustrated, you're talking about a kid that had a ton of pressure.
Yep.
And he handled it well.
As well as you possibly could.
Mom, a former UK women's basketball star. Dad, a Final Four MVP, national champion at Kentucky, and he's performed. That speaks volumes to me. That's a kid that's going to walk into Kentucky ready for Kentucky. Reed Shepard's walking into Kentucky to me more ready for the environment than anyone in this class is, just given he knows the history and what it means to wear that blue and white uniform.
He was in Pikeville for the blue-white game when we saw the most passionate fans there, you know, lining up in the crowd like that. That he has seen since he was a child, like a literal, toddler. He has seen Kentucky fans at their biggest and brightest and at their most passionate. And that is a leg up on the competition. I completely agree. I think he is built for this moment. He's built for a place like this. And I do think that it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment before we see him emerge as a potential star. And, that's a conversation for down the road. Can he be a star at Kentucky and just how big of a star? But I would not be shocked if, he steps in and at least has some semblance of a role, impact guy off the bench, that safe bet Dominique Hawkins, where you trust him to come in and fill a very specific role very, very well. I think that's what Reed can do, and the perfect complimentary piece for this five-man class that John Calipari has signed. And I think that's the perfect little cherry on top of the other elite high level impact player star talents. You need a guy like Reed Shepard to fill out that class.
That's the guy you want filling out your class, and it's a consistent piece that you're going to get a winner. You're going to get a guy who understands the winning pedigree at Kentucky, and you get a winning family in your program who's been a part of your program's tradition on both sides for decades now. Like, it's Reed Shepard will be successful at Kentucky, whether that's year one, year two, year three, or whenever it is. I just think the kid is also built to succeed in that program.
Well, I agree. Let's get out of here with this. Five signees officially locked up, done deal. Is that it? Are you comfortable with Kentucky ending the class as is, knowing who could potentially come back, knowing who could potentially leave from this current group? Are you comfortable with John Calipari wrapping a bow around this 2023 group and saying that's the one?
Yep. I'm comfortable with it. You let the remainder of this play out in your own roster, and then if you look at the portal in the spring,
yeah.
And if you need an addition, you go get an addition. This was a program that added one portal piece, Antonio Reeves, to this roster.
Yep.
And it's been a perfect fit. You're going to get a blend of guys returning, and if you need a guy, let's say, we talk Ugonna and stuff, and Bradshaw together, and you can kind of see that front court coming into its own now in my mind. Now that this class is official. A guy like Chris Livingston could see being a two-year guy, plug in there. Let's say you lose Jacob Toppin, Kaysen, let's just assume Oscar, gone. Yeah. Then you look and say, okay, do I need a five? Do I need a four? Do I need a shooter? You can kind of go plug and play what you need. And this just gives John Calipari the benefit to jumpstart the next class and go all in there, but also kind of look at his own roster and look, these guys know, these coaches know, like, we're going to lose this kid in December. We're going to get this kid back. It's January. We know this, but you can kind of get a look around college basketball and think, okay, that's possibly a portal piece there. Where does coaching changes happen? Where do guys enter the portal now? Like, Oscar Tshiebwe went into the portal and committed to Kentucky at the second semester. Is that a case where you find a guy that's a clear cut, that's a guy we want in our program, and you go get? It just gives it. It's a time now where I think Cal can be comfortable. He doesn't have to be, though. Does that make sense? Like, you're comfortable, but you're also eyeing your options and looking at what you could possibly add. I just think that this is a really nice insurance policy, knowing you've got your guys. The best Kentucky basketball classes are almost wrapped up on November signing day. And this is another one.
It's a very good position for Cal to be in. He gets his guy. He gets the PR. He gets the perfect best case scenario with his recruiting class. He gets every one of his top targets in the class. Just very, very well done. Great work for everybody in the coaching staff to get this group put together. It's a very, very good one. One that I'm very excited to see find their way to campus next season. So, Sean, let's get out of here. That wraps up our official DJ Wagner Signs with Kentucky podcast. Where can fans find your work?
You can find my work at gobigbluecountry.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at GBB Country.
find me on Twitter as well, at Jack Pilgrim KSR. Reach out to me via email, jpilgrim@kentuckysportsradio.com. That will be back, I guess, after the Champions Classic. We'll hit that once again, and we'll have fun with it. We'll see you then.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.